Let us pray. Lord, as we find ourselves in the middle of a storm, or perhaps feeling like we're alone in a cave, may we know your presence, your love, your forgiveness with us. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever noticed how quickly your emotions can change? Your sense of self even can change. How quickly your view of the world can change, or even your faith in God. Have you ever noticed how one moment you can feel deeply discouraged, and then a few minutes or a few hours later feel tremendously hopeful? How one moment you can feel light and free, and the next you can feel burdened and trapped. How one moment you are confident, self-assured, ready to move forward and make bold decisions, and the next you can be filled with doubt and insecurity, unsure of what to do next. You know, there was a morning a few months ago where I woke up after a very strange, kind of disquieting, unsettling dream, and my head was spinning a bit. I remember thinking to myself as I woke up, how am I gonna get through this day after having this strange dream? But I got in the shower, had a cup of coffee, drove to church, and by the time I got there, I'd completely forgotten about the dream and actually had a good and productive day. Have you ever noticed that on some days you might be humming along with Louis Armstrong to I See Trees of Green, Red Roses Too, I See Them Bloom for Me and You, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And then maybe the very next day, we're singing along with R.E.M. It's the end of the world as we know it. We're very day-to-day. Even when it comes to God, I think there's some days we feel like we can see his hand at work in our lives, when we can feel his presence, his caring touch. And on others, we wonder, where are you, God? What are you doing? Some days we wonder whether or not he exists at all. Again, I don't know about you, but in my experience, people are fairly inconstant. Inconstant in how they feel and think about themselves, about the world, and even about God. And I think that that may be particularly true right now, as we are in the midst of such upheaval, such unusual, uncertain times, when we don't know what the future holds or how we're supposed to feel or what we're supposed to do. My guess is that most of you have experienced quite a range of emotions and outlooks over the course of the past few months. Well, in today's Old Testament and Gospel readings, we have the stories of two men who experience some mixed emotions, who have moments of great faith and courage and obedience, and then, almost immediately, moments of crisis and doubt and fear. In the Old Testament reading for today, which is 1 Kings chapter 19, we encounter the prophet Elijah hiding in a cave, fearful for his life. Here's what the passage says. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." In this moment, Elijah is feeling lonely, confused, afraid. Maybe you can relate to that today. Now, in order to understand the interesting nature of today's passage, we have to understand what comes before. And in the chapter directly before today's reading, in 1 Kings chapter 18, today we're in 19, I want to talk about chapter 18 a little bit, we have one of the most striking, most entertaining stories in the entire Bible. I encourage you to read it. It's a good yarn, as they say. In this story from 1 Kings 18, Elijah, by himself, completely alone, faces off against the 450 priests of the god Baal, or Baal, sometimes called. He also is in front of King Ahab, who wants him dead, and the entire nation of Israel, who have abandoned God, the true God, and turned to the worship of Baal. And so Elijah, again by himself, proposes a challenge. He says, let's set up two altars, one for my God, one for yours. Then let's cut up one bull each. Let's cut up some wood, put those on the altars, and let's pray to our gods to send fire from heaven to consume the offering. And let's just see what happens. Me and my God versus you and yours. One man versus 450 priests and a king who wants them dead and an entire nation of people who have turned against God. So here's what happens, starting in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 26. So the priests of Baal took the bull that was given them and prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, crying, "Oh Baal, answer us!" But there was no voice and no answer. They limped about the altar that they had made. At noon, I love this, at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, surely he is a god. Either he's meditating, or he has wandered away, or he is on a journey. Perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." Then they cried aloud, and as was their custom, they cut themselves with swords and lances until the blood gushed out over them. As midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering, but there was no voice, no answer, no response. Okay, then Elijah says, "Okay, guys, nice try. Now it's my turn." He sets up his altar with the bull and the wood, and then the story continues. Elijah said, "Fill four jars with water and pour it out on the burnt offering and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." They did it a second time. And he said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time, so that the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench also with water. He had dug a trench around his altar. At the time of the offering, the prophet Elijah came near and said, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your bidding. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and even licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God." Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." Then they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the Wadi Kishon and killed them there. How great is that story? I mean, how is that not a major motion picture? But let me ask you, if you were Elijah, how would you feel after this? How would you feel about yourself, about the future, about God? Pretty good, I'm guessing. I would think that this kind of event, calling down fire from heaven in front of an entire nation, would erase all doubt, all fear, all insecurity from your mind. And yet, just a few days later, Elijah is terrified and hopeless. He flees into the wilderness, and the Bible tells us that he sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord," he said. "Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." How quickly Elijah's attitude changes. How quickly he loses courage, loses heart, loses faith. In today's gospel reading, we see the Apostle Peter experience something similar. Jesus has just performed a great miracle, like we talked about last week. He's fed thousands of people with just a few loaves and fish. Now he sent his disciples across the Sea of Galilee in a boat by themselves so that he can get away for just a little while. You may remember from last week that his cousin, John the Baptist, has just been beheaded, executed, and Jesus just needs a little time by himself, a little time to mourn and to pray. And as he's praying, the disciples are out on the Sea of Galilee. A storm kicks up, and they're battling the wind and the waves all night long. And when morning finally breaks, Jesus walks out on the water to help them, and they are terrified. But immediately, we are told, Jesus speaks to them and says, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And then Peter has this moment of incredible, audacious faith, not unlike Elijah in front of those 450 priests of Baal. Even as a storm rages around him, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water and goes toward Jesus. And I want you to imagine this. You know, we just had a pretty good storm this past week, and you know, not as bad as it could have been, but I want you to imagine the wind, the waves, the rain, the thunder, and the lightning, and Peter, who's been up all night, who is exhausted, terrified, steps out of the boat onto the surface of the lake, and it holds him. It holds him. What an incredible moment. Could you ever doubt again after experiencing something like that? Well, what happens next? Peter noticed the strong wind, we are told. He became frightened, and he began to sink. Great courage, once again, is followed almost immediately by great fear. Great faith is followed by great doubt. Sometimes we may think to ourselves, if only I could see a miracle, see God at work, have a moment of clarity, I would never doubt again. I would never be scared again. But the stories of Elijah and Peter, the story of the Bible, tells us that this is not true. What the Bible tells us is that when it comes to human nature, the only constant is inconsistency. The only certainty is uncertainty. So if that's true, then what is the answer? How do we move forward? Where is our hope? Well, our hope is in nothing more and nothing less than the unrelenting, unshakable promise and presence of God. Do any of you know the children's book, the children's story, The Runaway Bunny by Margaret Wise Brown? It's kind of a classic, been around for, 50, 60 years, so many of you may have read it to your children. I certainly have. And in this story, there's a little bunny who tells his mother that he is going to run away. And the mother says, "Well, if you run away, I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." And the little bunny invents all sorts of ways that he will elude his mother. He'll become a fish and swim away from her, or become a bird and fly away from her, become a boat and sail away from her. But to each thought that he has, his mother has a response. She says, "If you become a fish, I'll become a fisherman and I'll fish for you. If you become a bird, I'll become a tree that you fly home to. If you become a boat, I'll become the wind and I will blow you where I want you to go." There's nothing that little bunny can do to get away from the presence, the love, the promise of his mother. Now that's a story that is all about us and God. Notice that when Elijah runs away and hides in a cave and laments of his very life, God finds him there and calls him back. That when the disciples find themselves in the midst of a storm, Jesus walks out on the water to them and finds them. When Peter is sinking into doubt and fear, Jesus grabs him and lifts him up. This is the story of the Bible, of a God who is relentless in the pursuit of his children, a God who is so determined to have us, that he comes down to earth as one of us, to draw us back to himself, to reconcile us to himself, to save us and claim us as his own. We will always be inconstant, doubting, fearful, sinful. But God never fails. He was with Elijah in that cave. He was with Peter in the midst of that storm. And he is with you and with me right now in the middle of this pandemic. May we know that to be true, even when we don't feel it, even when we don't believe it. May we know the truth of God's presence and find hope to get through each day. Amen.